lightning strikes L.A. Cubs say yes we will, and Meryl Streep drags Trump and football at the same damn time. Iconic. All this and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Hey.
Feel me. What? Guess what? Feel me. All right. Guys, welcome to Sports Weekly, and we want you to feel us because we're, I mean, that's what we do every Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Starting five tonight, five of us in the house tonight. I'm glad you guys joined us. And there's no Thursday night football to interfere with all this awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, Insta Story, Twitter at Erica Renee D.
Hey guys, this is Charlie Myers. As of right now, I'm off of social media, but you can find me at the Sports Weekly. Yeah.
Feel him.
Nice.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Joshua Johnson. Find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
Hey guys, I'm Raina. You can find me on social media at Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale. Feel me?
What's up, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Also, I have the computer here live chatting it with
live
you guys.
Chat.
So if you have any comments, any questions, let us know. We'll get to them.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online and follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. We're going to be doing some different things on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. Feel me? Don't know what those things are going to be, but
they're going to be huge.
They're going to be
huge. They're going to be tremendous. Greatest ever you've ever seen.
I like that, Charlie. That's a really good impersonation.
God, that's really good.
Yeah, you know, it's my part-time job.
Okay.
I'm an impersonator.
Nice.
Yeah, you know.
Do it well.
Impersonator of Cheetos. Okay, guys, Clemson wins their very first national championship in 35 years. We talked about it a little bit last week about whether or not Lane Kiffin's absence or getting fired or being able to step down right before the game made a difference. Who knows? 35 to 31, Clemson avenged their loss from last year against Bama. Did Kiffin getting fired, not running that offense, have an impact? If it did, if it didn't, what do you say? What do you say?
I don't think it did.
No.
I watched the game from start to the end, and it was, oh God, that was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
The first half, it looked like Alabama had it, and then I don't know what happened afterwards. It looked like Clemson just got some momentum and just decided to go full force. I don't think it's anything to do with that. I think Clemson didn't want to lose again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
They had some momentum on their back, and that's partially the reason why they won the football game.
I'll go. I mean, listen, they scored 31 points, so to say that the offensive coordinator missing was
a reason why
they lost, I think is kind of ridiculous. On top of that, the drive that they had, their final drive, they scored a touchdown.
They did, yeah.
So at the end of the day, you have to blame the defense. Your offense came through. You have this vaunted defense, supposedly, that's going to carry you to a national championship. Because let's be honest, Jalen Hurts is not leading you to a national championship.
He's not.
Alabama has been good all season without quarterback play, basically.
Yeah.
And he puts up 31 points, and he scores a touchdown himself on the final drive to put you up and give you the lead as a defense. You got to hold on to it. Lane Kiffin had nothing to do with it.
But Bama's offense has been lackluster all season. And we'll never know for sure, but I wonder if Kiffin had been there, would he have been the security blanket that Jalen Hurts needed to, I don't know, pull something else out of his butt on another play? I don't know. I mean, we can go back and forth about whether or not Kiffin was had an impact or not, but I don't know. I feel it may have impacted them.
But why?
Adversely.
If they scored 31 points, how could you possibly put that on Kiffin?
I think saying he had a profound impact like that, I think it takes away from
Clemson's
play
and
Watson, especially. In the last 2 minutes of the game, he drove them, I think, 69 yards,
mm-hmm.
and they scored. So I think, like you said, Josh, it comes back down to Alabama's defense failed. Mm. Clemson put up numbers. Deshaun Watson was great. And it had nothing to do with Kiffin.
Raina, what you
I
got?
Agree. Yeah. I don't think that. I mean, when it comes to a coach, I think he obviously has made so much of an impact on Bama.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in those moments, this is as if your coach isn't there or coaching you as a player in your national championship, this is when you have to take control regardless of whatever is going on. So I don't think it was more Bama's defense that kind of messed them up.
What do you think, Erica?
I think whenever you make such a huge coaching change at a pivotal moment in your season, it has an effect. I'm not saying that they lost the game because Kiffin wasn't there, But I do think that not having the offensive coordinator who's been with your team for the past couple of seasons, you know, who, even though he's a little bit of an asshole as a head coach, he is. I mean, he's an asshole as a head coach. He is still an offensive genius, if you will. And, no, Jalen Hurts has been, you know, lackluster. That Alabama offense has been, you know, very pedestrian, very vanilla. It's been their defense that's gotten them through the season and got them to the national championship again. But that still changes the tone of your locker room.
But do you think there was that far a departure from the plays being called?
I felt like Jalen Hurts threw a couple of bombs in the third quarter. I looked around. Go ahead.
Okay, but I'm saying bottom line, they scored 31 points.
They did.
And the defense gave up 35. So in order for Kiffin to have an effect, that means that Kiffin leaving affected the defense. And I just don't buy that.
Okay, I see what you're saying. And yeah. I'm saying that I don't think Kiffin's not being there is a reason that they lost by any means. But I do think that maybe there was some kind of, I don't know, trick play, spark. Something that Kiffin may have been able to pull out his behind that maybe could have given Alabama the edge. I don't know.
Sarkisian have a trick play?
Did he? Yeah, I think he did. Sorry.
I get what you're saying.
Now, Deshaun Watson, I don't want to take, like you said, JJ, I don't want to take anything away from Clemson because they are very well deserving. And Deshaun Watson, I think, obviously proved himself to be the best college player this year. So with that being said, knowing that he was a finalist for the Heisman but lost out to Lamar Jackson from Louisville, do you guys think that the college football committee, the Heisman voting committee, should start waiting until after the championship game to reward the Heisman Trophy?
So the NFL, they release MVP right before the Super Bowl, correct?
Right. MVP for regular season, yeah. Right?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, again, I know that college and National Football League are completely different, but I think that they should possibly wait.
I do too.
I think they shouldn't. I think they should release it after, before the championship game, before even the college playoffs, because I think you have you might have some players out there who don't get a chance to make the playoffs that shine during the regular season, and you give another player a couple more games to show himself and to make more of a case, and I think that might not be fair.
See, when you look at who the Heisman finalists were, you had Lamar Jackson, you had Peppers from Michigan, you had, of course, Deshaun Watson. Who else? Who were the other two? I can't remember. But all the players who were in New York were all players on teams whose teams were top five or top six. So it's not as if you're going to get to the national championship game and there's going to be a Heisman contender who's playing for a 22nd-ranked team. If that makes any sense. So basically the guys on the biggest stage of college football that last game are going to probably be being considered anyway.
You give a couple more games. When you get a couple more games, you get more opportunities. You get more balls in the lottery.
You do.
So
yeah, and having a game on the national stage, like the national championship, actually gives you an advantage, which I don't think is really fair. I like the way it is. You know, regular season, and you just pick the winner. Because let's just say Deshaun Watson, right? I don't really follow college football like you guys do, or you, Erica. Mm-hmm. But I mean, is it really fair that he got all those eyeballs in his last game? And
to your point, it's very similar. I do not watch college football day to day, but it is something that I did a little research on him, and it seemed like he wouldn't even won the Heisman if that was the case. Mm-hmm. He's known for throwing the ball to other players. Interceptions this year were very high.
Okay.
I mean, okay, so compared to Lamar Jackson, statistically completion to interception ratio, maybe Deshaun was lacking in that category, but not so much that he led his team to an almost undefeated season. I mean, they had that one loss. So Deshaun Watson is Heisman worthy.
For sure.
So was Lamar Jackson. Was McCaffrey.
Yeah. McCaffrey not this year. McCaffrey kind of screwed himself over by being on. It's not his fault. Whatever. But Deshaun Watson, I think, could have won the Heisman. I think that they should wait until after the season because I'm sorry, Raina, you're like trying to jump in.
I agree. I think it should be after because I think that the way he played this game and his poise as a quarterback and how he comes up in the clutch, like I think that you should, I don't know. You should wait till the end, too. So,
but in, aren't interceptions a big deal in the National Football League? If you're going to try to get to the National Football League, that is a big stat that they're going to take a look at.
But Deshaun Watson wasn't throwing interceptions every play. It was not like he was freaking – I mean, he's not like Mark Sanchez. Let's be real. He's no Mark Sanchez. I mean, maybe he had more interceptions than did Lamar Jackson. I don't even know the actual stat, so I can't speak too intelligently to that. But I can say that Deshaun Watson at some point – or at several points in the season was one of the top Heisman contenders. Lamar Jackson was a little bit more, I can't say finesse. I think Deshaun's more finesse, but I think Lamar Jackson was more exciting and he had more of an arm. Yeah. But I'm with Raina. I think we should wait to the end of the season because it's not as if this last game was the only thing that Deshaun Watson did all season to prove his worth.
But it's not fair to someone like Lamar Jackson who doesn't have the team to get him to that game.
Thank you.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
Okay.
Agree, disagree.
All right. So we disagree. JJ, Pacific Pro Football League.
More football. Pacific Pro Football League might be starting in 2018. So we're a year out from possibly seeing an alternative to the NFL. And this Pacific Pro Football League is supposed to be like a developmental gateway to the NFL, not competing with the NFL at all. So we have players in this league. The proposal is to have players who are 4 years or less removed from high school. Mm-hmm. So these are players who could go to college, but instead they could join this league and make around $50,000, have pro coaches, have pro training. They would play, they're playing in the Sportsdead Zone, so that's July and August.
Mm-hmm.
They plan to put four teams in SoCal in an 8-game schedule. So these teams will have, I think, 50 players.
Yep.
And give players a chance to make some money outside of high school.
Yeah.
Whereas in NCAA, they're playing for these big schools, making the schools tons of money. We've talked about this on the show. Mm-hmm. But they're not getting any cut of it.
I think it's great. I think it's awesome. Because NBA, they got the Drew League.
Mm-hmm.
And the
NBDL.
Thank you. And as well as in the Major League Baseball, they mm-hmm. got the minor leagues. They got three of those. So with this, I feel like it's going to develop players to be better, and we're going to be seeing a brighter stars in the future because of this.
See, I think the pros to this would be that it gives these 1- and 2-star high school athletes who are not going to go to the Georgias or the Stanfords or the UCLAs, you know, it gives those players an opportunity to get some shine and maybe develop their talents, you know, in this instructional league, if you will, and get some looks that they might not have gotten. And with the $50,000 stipend or salary, they can still go to community college in the off season, and they're actually encouraged to do that. But although I always say that NBA, I feel that NBA players, you know, should be able to go from high school to the NBA because in MLB you can do that, in hockey you can do that. Because football is so heavily dominated by black men, even though when they go to college, they're not really going to class. A lot of the top athletes are not going to class. I still like the romanticized idea of being able to go get your, quote-unquote, free education. I think this league prohibits black men from pursuing education. And even though they say, oh yeah, you can go to community college, that's a big disconnect from a Nick Saban coming into your living room, sitting down with your mom and your dad, saying we're going to take care of your son. Here's a 4-year ride to Alabama, and when he goes pro, he can still come back in the off season. This is like, oh, I'm 17 years old. I'm not going to get into Bama or Clemson. I might get an education at a JUCO. I might not. Either way, I'm making $50,000 out of high school, and I think that it means so much to black men to be exposed to education, even if you're not really going to class.
So, and sorry, you haven't said anything.
Go ahead.
I disagree with you because I don't know, because it's still set in place and they haven't done mm-hmm. anything yet. But there has to be some sort of qualification to get into it, and I'm assuming these players are somewhat good to actually get into potentially the National Football League one day. So with that said, majority of those players that were going to go to college are either really, really good, or they're going to get themselves into this league to mm-hmm. potentially be as good as those players getting into the draft.
I mean, if you were really, really good in high school and you could go to a big school, wouldn't you rather make money in those first 1 or 2 years before going to make even more money?
Well, it's taking a chance for the first couple of years of the league because you don't know how successful it's going to be, and you don't know how serious people are going to take it.
True.
But they are giving you, what is it, $50,000?
$50,000 a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's tempting, especially if I'm someone who thinks, like, for instance, if I think I'm worthy of playing at Alabama, but I'm only getting offers from, like, a UNC.
Right.
But, you know, and I want to showcase myself, I think it's actually, you know, pretty beneficial to do it. I like the idea, to be honest with you. I'm not really a fan of the rules where you could only take snaps under center.
Right.
Like,
no spread offenses. Yeah.
I think they're being a little too strict with that. But overall, I do like it. I think it's a good idea. Like Charlie said, there's minor leagues. There's AAA, AA for baseball. Basketball has a Drew League.
But isn't there an age limit for this, though? Like, do you have to be 23 when you're, like, done, right? Is there 18 through 23?
4 years out of high school.
No more than four years out of high school.
So, basically, if they're 18 and 19, they're playing for 2 years, and they still don't have anything, they can continue playing for those other 2 years, right?
I'm assuming so.
So, I'm against it in that sense, just because I'm going to go off of UE on that the future because these kids are going into playing and they're thinking football is all that, like, they're getting the money, they're doing this, whatever, but there's certain things that you learn in college, that life skills, I guess, that you'll learn at a young age, and I think preparing for their future, I mean, because you're getting paid, you can't go to a university, you can't play on their team anymore because you're getting paid.
You
can't play on their team, but you can still go.
I wouldn't go to, I mean, if you're a football player, I wouldn't go to a college
if I couldn't play football. Because, like, at that point, once you start getting paid to play, like, you're no longer an amateur. So, let's say we want to play for 2 years, and then we're like, oh, now we want to go to college.
You're not going to play. I'm just saying, it's not, you can't go to school at all.
But I'm talking about playing, actually, like, being a college athlete. You can't, I don't think there's NCAA rules against that, right? You can't, because you took the money.
Yeah, you can't go back
to play. You can't play once you accept the money.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that there's principles after football that, you know, that this is just going to teach the young boys, like, okay, football is everything. But what if I'm done? Like, at 23, 24, you have just, what, $50,000? And then what?
But then you have your community college.
I mean, but if you actually
transfer.
I mean, if you actually pursued it, you know what I'm saying? Like, at least, even though, I'm going to say this 1,000 times, even though a lot of these athletes at these Division I schools aren't going to class, there's still the illusion of it, and there's still, you still have tutors. Well, here's the thing, and I always go back to this. When I was in school, I used to see Champ coming back, you know, to college and finishing his degree. And the reason he was coming back to finish his degree was because he was exposed to it in the first place. Take a Josh Johnson who never went. Obviously you went to college, but let's say you didn't go to college. You were never exposed to Division I program, Division I campus. You're not going to have any affinity to going to school when you never experienced going to school. So what Raina was saying is that 2-3 years, your career in this little provisional league is up. You're not, I mean, what's the likelihood that you are going to want to now take the little chump change you've made in this fake league and then pursue an education?
It's the same likelihood that somebody who's 45 years old decides to go back to school anyway. I mean, these people, if you want to go to school, you want to go to school. Exactly. You got to learn. So making $50,000 and playing football isn't going to keep you from doing that, if that's what you want to do.
I think it's pronounced Demo. If I'm mispronouncing your name, please correct me. But in the chat, Demo's saying, I would take the $50,000 a year.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. I know.
Is $50,000 really worth the injuries risk, though?
Thank you.
If you go there for 50 G's and you blow out your knee, then your whole career is shot and your schooling is shot.
Look, the alternative. Let's say that happens and you're going to a Georgia. But if you go to lose your scholarship.
But you don't. Like, once you're a scholarship athlete, if you blow your knee, let me tell you how many of my classmates, they were on that scholarship on the sideline on crutches for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you.
You signed that at National, that you signed up, I didn't know that. Your life away for 4 years.
But I think the stipulation of them giving you a free education, even though it's community college, is worth it. So if you get injured, then you know what? I got college, and they're paying for my college.
But JUCO is 2 years.
I think being an athlete also in college, you're learning so much about yourself that you can apply to your life. You're learning, you know, how to be a team player that you can take on to being in the work field.
You'd be learning that here.
No, I'm talking about in college. It's just you're playing football, basketball, whatever it is, but you're also learning other things too. I think taking that, the money, and just taking that, that's cool. I get it.
Yeah.
What kid at 19 is not going to blow 50 G's?
That's what I'm saying.
In Southern California.
Like, let's be real.
So you guys don't see this as an alternative or solution to the NCAA not paying athletes?
I think it should be tweaked. They should allow. I almost wish they would allow older players to play in this league. I wish it wasn't just for players who were 2-3 years out of high school, because as an 18-year-old, it's kind of like that 18-year-old who goes to your local technical college, and then you go back home in 20 years, they're still working at Ace Hardware. Nothing wrong with that, but the drive you have to actually go get a four-year education probably is not going to be there after you've been getting paid $50,000 a year.
Okay. I understand your point. You can't say that for everybody.
You can't say
that
for everybody, but
you can't. You
but
can't.
If we're being realistic, what she said makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, like think long.
Yeah.
Think about.
Yeah.
But it's really but it's also the drive in the person.
It's situational.
Yeah.
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 Definitely.
Okay. Before we go on to Chargers. We do want to give a shout out to Sean McVay being the youngest head coach in the NFL at 30 years old. Y'all, what are we doing with our lives?
I was thinking the same thing. I read that. I was like, oh my God. What am I doing?
A loser.
What am I doing?
He's not going to do much either, so don't worry.
Right.
Hope not.
Shout out to my buddy, Castor Lawson from UGA, who was messaging me. Have you seen this news? I was like, no, I'm driving in the rain. He was like 30-year-old head coach.
Yeah.
Great. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Which, if you had a choice, and they both are filled now because they just hired Chargers head coach.
I know what you're saying.
But would you rather be the head coach of the Chargers? Or would you rather be the head coach of the Rams?
Absolutely the Rams.
Rams.
Phil Rivers is on his way out. That offensive line is terrible.
Good point.
I mean, you are investing in Jared Goff, so you would have to trust him a little bit. But you do have a solid defense. You're going to have some high draft picks. I think the Rams have a brighter future than the Chargers right now, and I'd rather coach them.
That's one of our questions.
That sums it up.
Yeah, who's going to have the most immediate success?
Yes.
And yeah. You say Rams.
Yep. Yeah. But I think the Chargers are going to be more popular out the gate.
Yeah, same.
Wait, what?
The Chargers are going to be more popular out the gate. There's going to be more Charger fans in Los Angeles, but the Rams are going to be a better team.
Because they're California based. Yep.
But wait a second. But were they born in California? And were they born in L.A.?
The Chargers were here for 1 year.
Were born in L.A. technically.
Yeah, 1 year in the '60s, and then they moved to L.A. San Diego.
Okay.
So they are an L.A. based team.
So they're the only L.A. based team.
I don't see them having. You're saying they would have more fans than the Rams.
Yeah, I see Charger fans all the time here in Los Angeles. I don't know about you guys.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a Charger fan.
But I still see this as a Raider town.
Okay. Yes, but the Raiders came back, forget it.
Nobody would be a fan.
And the Chargers and Raiders are known rivals. So if you're moving your team, the Chargers, into rival Raider territory, I don't see it's going to be
It's
going to be hard to win those fans over. That's and fair. You're competing with the Rams fans.
That's fair.
Anyway, prematurely, the Chargers are in LA now.
Right.
So I'm super stoked.
Chargers. That's all that matters.
My friends are pissed, but I am very happy.
Marcellus had a good point on Afternoons with, I think it was called Afternoons with Kelvin and Marcellus, now that Max is gone.
Yeah.
He said that in 12 months we got two teams. So we went from not having any NFL teams, and being upset about that, to now having a second team and being upset about that.
And we don't even want them.
I don't want the Chargers, honestly.
Maybe if they combine, they can be 8-8. Maybe.
Oh my God.
Maybe.
They're in my hometown, too. Shout out to Carson.
Right.
The Sub-Hub Center.
So let's talk about that. Playing in the 27,000 seat StubHub. What is that about? And I think
it's smart because they're going to come in and they're not going to do well their first year. I can tell you that for sure. They're going to still have Phillip Rivers. Their offensive line is still going to be terrible. But they're going to sell out in the StubHub because it's only 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. If they were going to the Coliseum, how
that would look like a high school game.
80-something thousand.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's going to look nice, but it's not going to be as crowded as like a Ram game or something along
you
those lines.
You don't think so? You don't think there'd be Charger fans to fill up the Coliseum? I think so.
The Coliseum?
So Charger fans I don't know if you guys are friends with Charger fans besides me.
No.
But they are livid right now. Like, I'm the only one that's happy right now, but the owner is shiesty beyond belief. He didn't get a deal done. He panicked, and he's like, oh, let's move to L.A. That's pretty much what happened. I don't know if you guys followed that, but there was a law that was supposed to pass where they were supposed to tax their people that were going to stay at hotels. Did not pass. So in that defense, I defend the owner of the Chargers. He tried. He tried a full year to stay in San Diego, and nothing happened. The people didn't want them there. The Charger fans wanted them there, but they didn't move to fruition to actually do it.
Right.
And so they're making their home in L.A. I really like this, and I think it's going to be popular. Their logo is something to talk about, but
Have you seen the logo? Yeah. It's a disaster.
I don't know if they threw that together last night. Do you guys follow hockey?
Yeah,
I think it's the Tampa Bay Bolts.
Oh, the Bolts.
They made this meme. It was hilarious. It shows because the Tampa Bay Bolts has a little lightning bolt, and then they combined with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they combined it, and then you see the LA with the little lightning bolt. It looks pretty silly,
So J-Rod, I'm going to agree with you. I do. And guys out there who are on the chat, let us know what you guys think. I don't know if you live in Los Angeles or not, if you're on the YouTube chat. But whether or not, let us know what you think about who will have more immediate success, the Rams or the Chargers. I'm going to agree with you, J-Rod. I think the Rams will have more immediate success. And I'm going to also say that I've always contended that that L.A. fans are very fair weather, very fickle, and yep. I think we saw that a lot with the Rams. Everyone was so lit, so crunk about them coming. I literally had people trying to give me tickets to the games.
Me too.
I was like, I don't even want to go.
I want to go.
At the end of the season, yeah.
Right. No, yeah. So if that is a foreshadowing to what's to come for the Chargers, who are, what, maybe one game better than the Rams as far as records this season.
No, I think the Rams, were they better?
I think the Chargers were one game, had well, like
yeah,
a better
yeah,
record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you might have some dedicated Chargers fans to drive up to Carson and watch a game, though. And you know,
I'm
going to
be there. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, it's up to 405.
It's up to 405.
I'll be the only one.
Rams fans, like the diehard Rams fans, they're not anywhere near here anymore. Like, they're back in St. Louis, so I think that has another thing to take.
They couldn't expand to another market, like maybe St. Louis. I don't know.
I was hoping
it was just some ploy to, at the last minute, try to make this last effort to get your fans to do some emergency legislation and come up with something quick. But they're really moving here.
We don't want them. We don't want the Chargers.
Who would you rather besides the Chargers coming over to LA?
Honestly, the Raiders.
Raiders.
The Raiders would be so...
Well, the Raiders are going to Vegas, so...
I know, but I'm just saying,
I'm just coming, moving to LA. I moved to LA in March, and just to see the love the Raiders have, and, like, knowing the history, knowing how crazy Raider fans are. Mm-hmm. Like, to have the Raiders here would be insane.
Now, that would be
like
good.
Like, a black hole, the Coliseum? Come on, that would be insane.
We'll trade the Chargers and the Rams.
The Raiders have one of the best fan bases in the NFL. Let's just keep it real.
They're ghetto as hell. They're hood as hell.
And they're really winning again.
Y'all are hood. Raiders.
Are you guys going to go see a Charger game?
I want to. I want to see a Rams game. Actually, the Rams play the Giants this year.
I'm good on the Rams, but...
the Rams play the Giants this year. It was supposed to be a home game for the Rams. They played in London. I was like, you got me.
Right.
Are you serious?
They'll play Raiders twice. So, yeah.
At least I got one, two, maybe. Anyone?
I'm going. It's down the street. I might watch it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go right now.
Okay. We'll go.
Girls night.
Demo in the chat says that the new logo looks like it was slapped together at the last
minute. It does. It really looks very, very makeshift. Oh, TV timeout. Shout out to the girls for picking Clemson, for picking the championship, and shout out to J-Rod.
Thank you.
Because J-Rod was perfect with his picks for NFL wildcard weekend.
Because you went with their hearts.
I went my head.
You went with your head.
We'll talk about it later, but go Pat, go.
No, yeah,
we'll,
go.
Big deal or nah?
We're on the same page.
Big deal or nah? Who's up next? World Series.
Oh, I guess I'll talk about it again.
There you go.
So the World Series winners, Cubs, they are going to visit the White House on Monday before Obama leaves. Big deal? Or not?
Big deal.
Yeah, it's absolutely a big deal. It has to be a big deal because it's breaking the tradition when they normally visit the White House.
Yeah.
It's making a political statement. Whether they're trying to make a political statement or not, it is absolutely
like
making a political statement.
Wouldn't they normally go after the beginning of the spring training?
Yeah, it's like a couple of weeks before spring training.
Huge deal.
It's a huge deal. Who
wouldn't, though? Like,
get
it in quick.
Right.
I don't know if it was the request of the coach or the management or the owner or the players.
Obama's a Chicago fan.
Also, Obama's
White Sox fan.
He is a Chicago White Sox fan. Yep. Voice of God. I see where you're going, but he's a Chicago White Sox fan.
Chicago.
But Chicago overall, I'm sure he's happy.
That's a big deal.
Could you imagine that? Like, for the next coming years to come, it's not going to be Obama anymore. Right. It's going to be Donald Trump shaking hands with whoever wins.
What are the odds that Donald Trump tweets during the Cubs' visit to the White House.
Very high.
He will. Because he was tweeting during the farewell speech the other night, too. And I was like,
Charlie, give me a Donald Trump Cubs overrated.
Cubs. Overrated.
I didn't want them visiting the White House anyway.
No, don't want them seeing there. Stupid.
It was a big championship. Big championship. We didn't have it.
Oh, Cleveland should have won.
Ohio.
So, Raina, you say big deal too. We all say big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal. Le'Veon. Who's got that?
Le'Veon Bell. So he recently has stated that he is the Steph Curry of the NFL, meaning that he changed the game. I thought about that, comparing him to Steph and how he changed basketball to how Bell thought he changed football.
Did he have a reason why, or he just said that?
Yeah. So, he did have a reason why. Yeah, he said that he's not the best player. Steph Curry is not the best player in NBA, but he's changed the game and the way that players now are learning how to play. To defend him, I really like Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. I feel like he is the face of the running back position right now. With that said, Steph Curry... Okay. Yeah, Steph Curry... set records. Le'Veon Bell has not set any records. And if we're looking at the running back position, it should be David Johnson. Mm. David Johnson has averaged 100 running back yards with 20 touchdowns, which leads the National Football League. So if we're looking at anybody to set records, then it should be him. I understand the fact that he doesn't just plow through the actual play. He looks at the actual play and then goes through it, and that's why he's changed the game. But in my opinion, he's not the Steph Curry of the National Football League.
And I'm going to say it's a big deal for him to think that much of himself, to compare himself to a Steph Curry. I mean, he's a tremendously talented player. But I can't even.
You got 4 years of that. I'm just kidding.
Right. I can't. If I were to pick an NFL player who I would say has changed the game in the same vein that Steph Curry has changed the NBA, Le'Veon Bell is not the first person that comes to mind.
Well, to defend Le'Veon, I think he's talking about the fact that he's lining up in the slot now as a receiver.
Okay.
That's what I meant.
He's doing both. He's a receiver slash running back.
So all-purpose. He's all-purpose.
Yeah, but not many teams really use a running back like that. I don't really see teams. I mean, David Johnson is actually a great example. Mm-hmm. He's in the slot every once in a while, but Le'Veon is seeing, like, maybe 6 to 10 targets a game in the slot, is not really heard of in the NFL. On top of that, he's a feature back, so he's getting 15 to 20 carries a game. So I do think it's different in that aspect. But it's kind of hard to make a correlation between football and basketball. So it's just a weird comparison.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think primarily what he's talking about when he's saying that he's changed the game, from my perspective, I thought it was the fact that he kind of waits at the line of scrimmage, he kind of surveys the situation, and then makes his move.
Yep.
And I don't see a lot of players coming behind him, anyone growing up in Pop Warner in high school and college, trying to emulate that. I just think it's not going to happen. Who's going to want to sit there and wait? I think it's different per running back. I think you'll have your different way of looking at it. There might be running backs who are faster and can analyze that faster and make that move.
Mm-hmm.
But if to copy a move as far as just waiting and looking, I don't see anybody doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. No big deal.
So I think we're all saying big deal, but different reasons.
I would say no big deal. To me, it's just like a whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
But I still really like him, and I feel like...
Yeah. I personally think he's the best running back.
He's great.
Yeah.
I do.
He's great.
I do.
D-Rose, I don't even really know what this is.
All right, let me get to this.
This is your team. D-Rose goes AWOL.
Do you guys know what's going on with D-Rose? D-Rose basically just, for those who don't know, I don't know how you don't know by now, but Derrick Rose basically missed a New York Knicks game because he wanted to go home and be with his family, when in reality, he wanted to get away from the team because his feelings were hurt. I don't think I could remember a time when a player actually did this. Can you guys remember?
You don't do that. First of all, D-Rose, you're on your last leg. Literally, you're on your last leg. And the player that you were, the cachet that you used to have, you know, when you were coming right out of college, you don't have that anymore.
Right.
So I wouldn't even... This is a big deal.
Huge deal.
This is a big deal as a team player, or you're not being a team player. And also, like, if you're a Michael Jordan, LeBron, yeah, you can pull some shit like that. But you're a shell of your old self. You are a skeleton of what we thought you were going to be. You need to have your behind at the game just as number 10 man on the bench needs to have their behind the game. I can't believe he did this.
Yeah.
Big deal.
As a Nick fan, it actually infuriates me. It's infuriating. I mean, you are expecting a max contract from Phil Jackson or whoever the Nick GM is because Phil Jackson's kind of blowing it right now. And you have the, like, I don't know. It's just like, even just someone who has a job, right? Charlie if, or Eric or Josh, Renee, if you were, called you Rip, sorry.
That's okay. Right. We get it.
If you had a job, you would call out sick, right?
Right. Or no call, no show, you get fired.
In this age of technology, a text, a phone call, a tweet, a face, you can do numerous amount of things to call out of a job. You just don't go home without alerting anybody, especially to another state. Exactly.
When I heard it for the first time and I thought it was a family emergency, I defended him in a little bit. But now that it's just been for no apparent reason, then again, it's very, very similar to what you're feeling. But if it was something to do with his family, I defend him 100%.
Oh, I agree, but it's totally... And the fact that he used that as an excuse is even more disgusting. And the only reason why he's playing right now for the Knicks is because the Knicks are terrible right now, and they need him.
Do you think his mindset kind of, like, changed as a player after that whole scandal that came out before the season?
Oh, with the rape scandal?
He's been like this for a while now, to be honest with you. Derek,
I don't think that he would ever, like...
The last 3 years.
Yeah, he's just a very... just seems like he's an overly sensitive person. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really handle criticism well. I know in Chicago things were kind of getting a little messy with the fan base there. I don't know. He just seems like an overly sensitive person to me, and he kind of...
Injuries probably got to his head, too. Like, just that he's not the same player, like, every year, but...
JJ, you've been quiet.
Yeah, I don't have much of an opinion on this.
No?
If he has no excuse or reason, or valid reason... I mean, he could have made something up.
Yeah, he could have.
Right, and Demo in the chat says, I think D-Rose, his excuse was lame. I think he split because the coach had benched him in the fourth quarter, which is true.
Good
and I
don't point.
Know if guys know this. Knicks have won one game in the past 9 games, and it was the game that Jeff Hornacek benched Derrick Rose in the fourth quarter.
Ooh, D-Rose.
Wait, no, I'm lying. No, I'm not lying.
I don't even watch. I don't watch enough Knicks basketball to even counter
he got
that. Real quick before we go into... Fair, foul, can't call it. We got to run through that. We have a new sponsor, Blue Apron.
Hey.
Are you guys,
I like food.
We like food. Do you guys like food? Yes. Well, we like food. We know you guys like food, too, because if you didn't like food, you wouldn't be alive. At Blue Apron, guys, it's awesome because they are not all ingredients are created equal. They have fresh, high-quality ingredients. You can, you know, tell a real difference in your eating, and you eat better ingredients. You get healthier. Your hair looks better. Your skin looks good. You catch all the girls or all the guys, whatever floats your boat. I want to tell you this, too. The featured upcoming meals with Blue Apron are spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage. And you have pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach. That's the second featured meal. That sounds really good. And the last featured meal that you guys have to be out on the lookout for at Blue Apron is mushroom and chipotle pepper enchiladas with lime sour cream.
Mm. My pants just got... A little bit larger.
Right. So, if you're looking for some quick, easy, like, ways that you can cook and that you can feed yourself in a healthy way, this is what you need to look for. And, guys, you got to eat. You spend a lot of money. These meals can oftentimes cost less than $10. So eat healthy. Have it in your home. Eat for cheap. How do you get this the promo code from us? You got to go to blueapron.com. Use the promo code BHLWeekly so that you can get the benefits of this, but at a discount. Get on the low. Again, go to blueapron.com. Use the promo code BHLWeekly. You're going to love how good you feel when you eat this healthy food from Blue Apron. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair foul, can't call it. George Carl says that Kenyon Martin and Carmelo Anthony... Yeah, this story is a couple of weeks old, but basically he says in his book, Furious George, that a reason that he didn't win was because he was dealing with guys who were fatherless, like Kenyon Martin and Carmelo Anthony. He also goes in on Carmelo saying that he's a narcissist, he's not a team player. But the biggest thing that caught the most attention was that he called them essentially losers for not having fathers. This week he backtracked and said that he came across the wrong way. Fair foul, can't call it. All this is foul. George Carl, first of all, I stood up for you when you got sick. I stood up for George Carl, and he was, you know, one leg out the door. You know, cancer's nothing to play with. But now I'm like, you might just be an old, bitter man.
Yeah.
So this is very foul.
I'm going to say foul, too. I am not the biggest Carmelo Anthony fan, as you guys know. I'm a big fan, but I think he took it a little too far. You don't really talk about someone's father like that or personal life. You can talk about, you know, Carmelo Anthony and his...
Posse?
I don't know.
Isolation play, the way he stops the the ball on offense, how he doesn't play defense, but stay away from Manzfather.
Right.
It's foul.
Right.
Yeah. It's foul.
Foul for sure.
Yeah, yeah, all the way foul.
I was never a fan of George Klaus, like, at all.
How about Kobe Carl?
I'm sorry?
Kobe Carl. He's a Laker.
Kobe Carl.
For like 2 seconds.
No? I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
That was before your time.
He never got
before my time.
Definitely foul for me. Yeah, I'm going to quickly wrap this up because I know we're running short on time.
Predictions.
But I think it's foul because I grew up without a dad, and to even talk about that is disrespectful. Mm-hmm. You should never do that. You old man, just retire.
It's disgusting.
You got to go.
Meryl Streep and her fantastic Golden Globe speech dragged Trump, praise God. I want everyone to use their platform to drag his ass every time they get a chance. Pardon me. But she also drags UFC and football in her speech. Who was this? Who put this? Go ahead.
So, I think it's fair. She did say stuff about UFC and football, but I think she did it for good reason. She didn't necessarily mean that UFC and football suck or anything along those lines. What she's saying is that she wants more of a creative outlet out there besides those two things.
I think it's foul.
She's saying it wasn't art. It wasn't creative arts.
It's not art.
Like acting is, or music, or dance.
I do believe that it is some sort of art, but I don't think she meant it in a foul way.
No.
Maybe she didn't mean it in a foul way, go ahead, JJ.
I'm always cutting you off.
Wait, listen, we can share. I don't think she intended it to be disparaging per se, but it came across as, well, I guess someone who loves sports, it came across as, that's less than. What we're doing is elite. What we're doing takes a lot of talent.
Less cultured.
Exactly. And, you know, as someone who's in the entertainment industry, you know, I act as well. And I love sports. I feel oftentimes that actors and thespians get into their emotions and get into their feelings about how great it is to be an actor. But truth be told, a lot of the roles that are being filled now are either being booked by old school actors who've been in the industry for years, or you book it because you have a look. It has nothing oftentimes to do with your talent. Now you have your, my phone. You have your Daniel Day-Lewis's and people like that, you know, who are, and Meryl Streep's, you know, who are super talented. But then you have people like me who are just starting off who book a role because you feel you look a part.
Right. Yep.
So don't act like sports is on a lower hierarchy than is acting.
It's a little bit elitist.
It was.
It certainly, because sometimes actors can be on their, you know, I don't know, when entertainers start talking about politics and other things.
Their high horse.
Mm-hmm. They get on a little bit of a high horse as if they're just, you know, so great. And some of them are, but it's a little bit elitist, but I'm going to say it's fair.
Okay. Raina.
Foul.
It was funny.
It was funny, but I thought it was foul.
Yeah. I say fair freedom of speech.
Okay. Rondo.
Oh yes, Rondo. So he was benched.
He's on his
Rondo
way out too.
Rondo has had an interesting, I guess, careers with different teams, different players, and different coaches. But in this game in particular, Rondo was benched, and he was told by a staff member that it was to save himself. So
on bobblehead night.
Right, on bobblehead
on
night.
Bobblehead.
On
bobblehead. Was it his bobblehead
it was
night?
It was bobblehead then.
Damn.
Wow.
Foul, fair, or can't call it. I'm going with foul because
he's got career lows.
He's a grown ass man, and you're gonna say you need to save you. That's the excuse you're gonna give to me. Obviously, there's way more than that, but to save myself.
I'm saying can't call it. Can't call it because obviously we see that there's a lot of contention with that organization. So we only see what's happening on the surface. So imagine if what we see on the surface looks as tumultuous. Imagine what's really going on behind the scenes. So I'm going to say there are a lot of inner workings about what's going on in that locker room, that organization, that make me say can't call it. I'm not going to, like, that might have been the most politically correct, most sensitive thing they could have said to him, not to exacerbate whatever the hell is going on. So I'm going to say can't call it.
I'm going to say foul, but like barely foul, like hit down the third base line and the umpire has to like look at the chalk, like, oh no, foul. Right. Just because, honestly, they're benching him because of his play and doesn't fit in with the team. He doesn't fit in with the team, like his personality or the way he plays. He's not a good match for that team. He doesn't work well with Wade. He doesn't work well with Butler. Mm-hmm. And they're benching him. They don't want him to play point guard anymore. Just say it. That's
right.
It. Just say it.
Just say it.
That's
what did they mean?
Don't lie. Just say it.
Like,
you're not saving him.
I don't know. Save
yourself. I feel like that's what my grandmother says to me. When,
like, save his knees.
No save idea. Yourself,
child. Save yourself.
But as a, if you're going to sign Rondo, you should know that he is a pass-first point guard, and he slows mm-hmm. the game down. So he is looking to pass, pass, dribble, 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 pass, pass. Why would you even go for that? I don't know. To tell me, if you're going to bench me and tell me that you wanted to save myself, I don't know. I
would, but there's more to it, because his replacement was Michael Carter-Williams.
Right.
And he's average at best.
Yeah.
So I think it's more than just him and his play on the court. There's definitely something going on in the front office.
But Rondo is average at best these days, too. So, I mean, granted, Rondo has a body of work behind himself and a championship ring that, you know, precedes all this BS that's happening now. Current day, what have you done for me lately? Not anything.
He doesn't have the kind of team that he could just really mesh with because of the style of play.
I'm going to skip Damian Lillard and go right into, in case you missed it, because we're running out of time and we've got to do predictions too. In case you missed it, UConn's women's team. Raina, you should be proud of me.
Women's basketball. I was so surprised to see this.
I thought it was you and it was you.
I put that on there.
Like, wow.
Well, because I was asleep one night on the floor in my living room. The television happened to be on. I happened to hear this in my sleep. I was like, oh, this is a good little stud. I'll throw this in here if a tree falls in the forest. But the tree fell and I was there. So 90 game win streak, UConn women. Shout out to the Huskies.
They've always had a great career.
In case you missed it.
Did you guys miss that?
I did not miss it.
Okay.
I didn't see that.
It's a great team. Give us a great team.
Come on, somebody else jump in case you missed it. Chris Brown.
Chris Brown and Soulja Boy. Great team. Chris Brown and Soulja Boy have been, like, going at it, obviously. Yeah. Started because Soulja put some hard eyes on Karrueche's picks. Escalated to now a boxing match between the two.
So ignorant.
It's all about the money.
It is. Yeah. And now we have Mayweather's endorsing Soulja Boy, but he did say that he's getting involved.
What's that look for?
Why are we talking about this?
We're talking about this because I pitched this to AfterBuzz TV to do an after show of the fight if it actually happens.
Oh, very good.
We should do it.
Oh my God.
Dubai, they want to have the fight in Dubai.
Who would you pick? Soulja Boy or Chris Brown?
I'm going to say Chris Brown because he's a natural athlete. He's a baller, shot caller.
Chris Brown's going to destroy him if it happens.
I hope they both get knocked out.
Right.
I can't stand them both.
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, man. Sorry, Soulja.
In case you missed it, J-Day, is you.
What?
Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah, this is cool. This is like every 30-something-year-old's dream. Ice Cube is starting a league. It's called the Big Three. It's a 3-on-3 league, bringing back his favorite and most of our favorite NBA players who have been retired now. So guys like Allen Iverson, guys like Jermaine O'Neal, Kenyon Martin, Mike Bibby. These guys are going to play 3-on-3 games starting in the summer. Various cities around the league.
Oh, nice.
All 8 teams in the league are going to go to that city and play 4 mini games.
Okay.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be really hype. They're going to have like player introductions, really spectacular player introductions with their own intro music. Okay. It's going to be great halftime shows.
So the Social Security League, basically.
Exactly. First team to 60. And there's even 4-point shots, too. 4-point
shots. The AARPBA.
Yeah, I like that.
I definitely want to go back and see. Iverson's been one of my favorite players, so I would definitely see players like him, maybe point guards who handle the rock really well and play. I would be watching.
I mean, I'll go see, too, but it's like.
I think I'll tune in for the first match, and then after the first, I'm like, all right, T-Mac can't jump as high as he can.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of N1, just a little bit slower.
And you know when they have them in the All-Star, like during All-Star game weekend, they have him in like these side games with the celebrities, and you're like, wow, he's definitely not what he used to be.
Right.
It's going to be like that. I think it's cool. I think it's really cool, actually, you know, to see Irish on the court one more time. But I think that the play is going to be so diminished that people are going to be turned off by it by the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why it's 3-on-3. They're not going to go full court and all out, but it'll be fun to watch a little bit.
Predictions. Can we get the AfterBuzz BHL prediction lights like you do on the television show on the after? Maybe not. Okay, Jim. We can't get the. I see
now,
it.
Now your AfterBuzz.
Okay,
Black Hollywood
I see the light down there. We couldn't get. They didn't do.
Thank you,
J. Rod. Okay, predictions real fast because we're running short on time, but it's okay because we talked about a lot of stuff today. Seahawks, Falcons.
Seahawks.
Atlanta Falcons. Earl Thomas is missing in that secondary. I think Matt Ryan's going to exploit it. They're not going to be able to stop Julio Jones. That offense is legit. They're home, and then Atlanta and the Seattle Seahawks offense cannot keep up. I'm going Falcons.
I want to say Falcons because the Seahawks have a very weak division, and they're 11-5-1.
Weak division?
No, they do. You're right. This year they do, but. I'm gonna say Seahawks because
okay.
not only do, I mean I'm sorry no Falcons sorry I'm gonna say Falcons right. because not only do the Seahawks come from a weaker division. I've always looked at Russell Wilson as a game manager and not a playmaker. And I think that's gonna really come in.
Interesting.
That's gonna really come into play. I mean, I didn't say he was a bad quarterback. I just think he's more of a manager than he is
okay.
a major playmaker. So I'm gonna say Falcons. Okay. Falcons. You guys all say Seahawks. Okay. Texans. Patriots.
Patriots. I don't even think we need.
Yeah. The okay. Yeah.
Steelers. Chiefs.
Steelers. We have the Steph Curry of the NFL. What?
Right.
Nice.
Right. JJ.
I'm gonna say Chiefs. On this one.
I don't know.
I'm with Charlie. You. I gotta say I'm the Chiefs. Say Chiefs on this one.
Wait. Chiefs. I said the Chiefs.
You said the Chiefs? Yeah. Chiefs, baby, let's go.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go. Come on. That defensive line's going to get to Big Ben.
To Big, yeah.
Marcus Peters, I mean, he didn't guard Antonio Brown last game. Right. By the way, the Steelers tore up the Chiefs. I don't know if you guys remember that game.
No, I remember.
But I think Alex Smith's not going to turn the ball over. I think the Chiefs.
Alex Smith has a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. And Big Ben, I don't care how big he is, he has not been fully 100% all season long. And he is their offense, except for Steph Curry. Sorry.
Offense is very hit or miss. It varies from week to week. The Chiefs have one of the better defenses in the league.
You said Big Ben is their offense?
I mean, yes, Big Ben is their offense, but he hasn't been 100%.
I mean, him and Antonio Brown.
Well, yeah, and Steph Curry. okay. Packers, Cowboys.
Damn.
You're not rolling with?
Listen, I'm a Dak rider, so I'm going with my heart. Dak. Come on, Cowboys.
Dak. Cowboys.
Josh,
you go first.
No!
I don't know.
Say something fast.
Cowboys.
Okay.
No, Packers.
No.
Yours.
Charlie.
Packers.
Aaron Rodgers is on a roll.
He is.
And he is on a roll. The best part of that Packers team is Aaron Rodgers and that offensive line.
No Jordy Nelson,
but that offensive line will pass protect. Aaron Rodgers can make plays on his feet, giving Davante Adams, Randall Cobb time to move around. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And the Cowboys offense is not going to be able to keep up with Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be okay. It's going to be like a 31-24 type game. And the best part of the Packers defense is their run defense, stopping Ezekiel Elliott, which is going to make Dak Prescott make plays. And I think he will, but it won't be enough to stop Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I'm going Packers. Charlie's with me. I think we're on the same page, Packers, baby.
Let's do this. Aaron Rodgers doesn't play offense and defense. And let me tell you, that O-line, Aaron Rodgers has nothing to do with Dallas Cowboys O-line. And you're going to see the magic of the co-rookies of the year, Dak and Ezekiel, coming to life. So real quick, let's just go back down one more time. Okay, Seahawks, Falcons. Falcons?
Seahawks.
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 Falcons.
Texans, Patriots.
Patriots.
Patriots. Patriots. Steelers, Chiefs.
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 Steelers. Chiefs. Packers, Cowboys. Deck Rider,
Packers,
baby.
Go back.
I'm going Packers.
Okay.
Yes, Josh. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Guys, thank you for joining us in the chat room. We got to do this more often.
Timo, you were lit.
Right.
And other person.
And other person. Thank you. Every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, your favorite sports squad on the internet and around the world. We are Sports Weekly. Every Thursday at 7, I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, on InstaStory, and on Twitter at Erica Renee D.
Hey, guys. This is Charlie Myers. You can find me at The Sports Weekly.
This has been really fun, guys. Find me on social media at JJ the Talented.
And you can find me at Reyna_Ale.
Guys, I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. The debate does not stop here. Follow me. Let's debate. Next week, join us on the live chat. Let's do it.
As always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BHLOnline and follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. Guys, we hope that you're enjoying our new format. And until next week, go Cowboys!
See you later. It's going to be huge.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.